Hello, this is Hey Dude Shoes. This is an ad, but not for your ears, for your feet. Are they listening? Good. Hey Dude Shoes are the squishiest, airiest, lightest go-to shoes you'll ever have the pleasure of introducing your toes to. So light, a butterfly could steal them. So soft, kittens seethe with jealousy. So cushy, your hands will curse your feet for all the love and attention. Toes, you've hit the jackpot of comfy. Hey Dude. Good to go to.
At Premier High School, we are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal.
Daniel chapter 11.
And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed.
2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 1 Timothy 6. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Okay, hi, this is Sister Mose. Go ahead and pray. Lord, help us to see clearly as soldiers in your army, exactly the attack that is upon the United States and how it operates, so that we can just see really clearly in the spirit, so that we may just be really strong soldiers for you, Lord, to help deliver these sheep that are in these churches and lost and actually in a very dangerous place. Help us, Lord, to just have that wisdom and understanding to be able to make war for you. Because we love you. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about the prosperity attack that is on American churches.
And when I say this, when I say prosperity tech, it's not just money, okay? Like people teaching, well, actually it's doctrines of devils is what scripture calls it. Teaching, it says with itching ears, gathered onto themselves, teachers saying what they want to hear. And then it says that in times that people will think that gain is godliness, right? This verse, Timothy, I think chapter 6. Basically, when I say prosperity doctrine or false teaching or whatever, it's not always necessarily going to be money, okay? Because I didn't realize this, but some of the churches I was in were teaching it overall, okay? Just that basically being a Christian, once you get saved, your life will be better. It will be better, okay? I'm not saying that, but it's in terms, they talk about it in terms of worldly terms, earthly terms here, okay? Our lives are better by far because we have the Holy Spirit. We know what to do, and He leads us and guides us. But it's a very sneaky attack, and so it's depending on what church and teaching it is, it could be very obvious where they're talking about you're going to be rich with lots of money, or it can be just a little leaven, right? But it's still a leaven, the whole lump, and it's dangerous, teaching us avoiding the teachings of mainly suffering. Okay, Scripture says that we are saved by faith. Okay. Through grace, none of ourselves, lest anyone should boast. But also, you have to understand, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 also says that, and then I think it's 1 Peter chapter 5 also says as well, and Jesus says himself, calculate the cost, right? That that our faith will be tested, right? Also to book of James, I think it's the very beginning of the whole book. So basically, we get saved by faith, but our faith is tried and tested over and over again until the day we die. So we have trials, okay? And so this teaching avoids that, okay? This false, like, attack, okay? I'll just call it the prosperity attack because that's exactly what it is, okay? It's an attack on people's salvation, very clearly. It teaches, it does it, it avoids suffering. It avoids discussing sin, okay? Or if it does, it's very light, okay? Remember, 1 John chapter 3 verse 6 says that he is as born of God sinneth not. So a person that's saved is not supposed to be in continual unrepentant sin, okay? And then also it'll teach like once saved always saved doctrine, which once again Hebrews chapter 12, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27, all of it discusses. And then Jesus himself, Matthew 7 and 14, this salvation as a road, okay? So you get saved, boom, you receive the Holy Spirit, you're on the road, okay? And you keep going, okay? And the road is not over until your heart stops beating. So it's a continual process until the day you die. So salvation, Romans 10 and 9, confessing and believing is the beginning of getting on that road. And then salvation, that's the road to salvation, but the race is not over, the path is not over until you finish all the way through and enter the gates, right? So it teaches that you can never lose your salvation no matter what you do. Once saved, always saved, and that, or like really cheap grace, it doesn't matter how much you sin and you're okay. All of this goes against scripture, okay? So the best way to discern and identify this prosperity attack is it does not address your life, the suffering that is guaranteed in scripture, okay? Because what it is we were saved by faith, but our faith is tested, okay, so that we may be proven worthy to inherit the kingdom of God. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, right? So we are saved by faith always, but the faith has to be continued till the end, and it is tested continually until the day that we die. And our faith is what proves us worthy to inherit the kingdom of God, walking in holiness, okay? And it's this peaceable fruit that it talks about in 1 Peter. And then also, too, this is what Jesus says when he says, many are called, but few are chosen. So a lot of people will receive, they will confess Romans 10 and 9 and they'll believe, right? But it's like this. We don't really know, right, if someone believes in their heart, okay? And so Romans 10 and 9, the first part is confess through your mouth. Second 9 part, believe in your heart. That's the part that we see with trials. It's like this, okay? Nobody's getting into heaven with fake faith, okay? Faith is often described as gold. Nobody's going to get into heaven with like fool's gold, okay? What happens is we go through trials and our faith is tested continually. And believe me, on on Judgment Day, when we, you know, pass, you know, the great throne judgment, because we're covered in the blood of Christ, it will be because we have real faith. There's not going to be any fake faith, okay? These trials are what prove our faith, okay? A good example of that is Israel, okay? You had a whole bunch, right, that confessed, right? When you look at the mount, they all said, yay, you know what I mean, and got sprinkled with the blood, right? But who entered the promised land, okay? Excusing, you know, Moses and Aaron, because they were different. But as far as the mass goes, I think they think there was 2 million Jews, right, that left Israel. Only two entered the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. Okay, that's what few. Okay, he's not playing when he says few. Okay, and that, why did they enter? Because they really believed. Okay, it wasn't fake. They really believed. Okay, they could conquer it and enter it, but the rest of the Israelites did not, okay? They fell away, okay? That's what you could call as like a falling away. So that's, I pray I'm explaining this well. Your faith is tested through trials so that on Judgment Day, the faith will be real. It's like real gold. It's been tried by fires of trials, because what happens is this world is fallen, it's corrupt. We are guaranteed suffering because that's the nature of a fallen world, but the Lord flips it and he uses the suffering and these trials to prove our faith and try our faith so that it's pure gold. And so when the Lord says we are saved by faith, trust me, it's true, but it's going to be real faith. So you got a lot of people confessing with their mouth, but in their heart, they don't really believe. And this is going to be made manifest. Okay. So we want to believe wholeheartedly and have that gold all the way through until the end. So you can identify this prosperity attack. Okay. That, by the way, it does not talk about suffering. It does not address the issue of sin. And it does not address the issue of keeping your faith until the end, which sounds like a very small thing, but it's actually a deep spiritual thing that is extremely important. You have to keep your faith all the way until the day that you actually, you have to keep it until the day that your heart stops beating, okay? And the reason why they avoid these teachings is because that's part of the attack, which we're going to get into. So I want to make that really clear. It can be extremely obvious with a bunch of riches, or it can be mild, okay? But ultimately, what it teaches, okay, is that your life is going to be good, okay? Maybe with money, or it could just teach you that you're going to have like this cakewalk once you get saved, okay? Which is completely unbiblical, and it's taught intentionally to get people to abandon their faith and stop believing in God, okay? Or on the other end, keep their faith, but keep their faith in a false Jesus, which is unfortunately the Jesus that they're believing in is going to show up. He's called the Antichrist, okay? So let's break it down. So we're on a path, okay? If you're born again and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're on this path, right? This narrow path that Jesus talks about, okay? And this path that you're on, okay, is the road to salvation. Now, you want to look over, because there's a lot of people on this wide path, this false path, okay? And unfortunately, I have a lot of friends and family members. And even if you don't, okay, as a soldier in the army of God, you want to equip yourself with understanding this teaching so that you can be ready with an answer for those who do show up around you. Because this teaching is not only going to be, it's not only here in the United States, but it's spreading. It's going to continue to spread until the time of the Antichrist. This path, right, if we want to look over and see it, right, okay, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can see what it looks like, we can see what's on it, and we can see where it's headed, okay? This path is very wide, and it is full of, scripture says that the devil masquerades as an angel of light, okay? And that, it's filled with a lot of false, and it also says, so do his ministers. So all these deceiving angels of light and then false ministers are all along this path, okay? Now, we have to understand something. We get provision, okay? What I mean is like food, shelter, raiment, okay? Like Jesus says, you know, we get it either, we can get it from our Father, okay, who will provide for us, okay? I'm not trying to say that God is not a provider. He is a provider, okay? But we also have to understand when Jesus was tempted in the desert after the 40-day fast, or you can get it from the kingdoms of this world, okay? Ephesians chapter, I can't remember what chapter it's in, but it talks about the gods of this world, okay? So there's two powers that can give us provision, okay? It can be you know, the Father, like Jesus says, you know, after the Sermon on the Mount where he talks about, you know, that our Father will provide for us, so we have a little faith, right? So our Father provides, obviously, we know that, okay? Or you can get things from the dark powers of this world, okay? And so what happens is you have these deceiving angels of light that are on that path, okay? And they are actually providing provision for these people, and then they think that it's, you know, of God, okay? And the difference between the two is that when we serve God, we humble ourselves before him, knowing without fear that he loves us, okay? And if he loves us, he's going to take care of us, but it's going to be according to his timing and plan, okay? So if he wants us to be well-established during a season, because it's a good testimony for those around us, then we'll be well-established, you know, financially, whatever it is, you know, for our family, whatever. If he wants us to go with, you know, the Apostle Paul says, I found it's sufficient to be satisfied with food and raiment, you know what I mean? He's like, I've got food in my stomach, clothes on my back, I'm good, you know what I mean? So he could have us in that position, okay, as a testimony to those around us that God is all that we need, okay? Because we have to remember Jesus Christ, he slept on the Mount of Olives every night and just trusted, you know, and the women that were around him provided for him and stuff like that, ministered unto him out of their substance. I think it's the book of Luke that says that. So it just depends, okay? So, but God will take care of us, okay? I'm not trying to say God is not a provider. He's always a provider. He always takes care of us, okay? We can trust in him. That's a promise from the Lord. He says he will provide for you, oh ye little faith. So God takes care of us, but the difference is it's according to his plan, because it's all about salvation and what's best for us. So if we're covetous, he's probably not going to give us a bunch of money because it's dangerous for our salvation, okay? He may want, like the rich ruler, okay, that was in his heart. And he says it's better for a rich man to get through the eye of a needle than, a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man into the gates of heaven, right? So for that young man, he needed to put his money down, right? Because, you know, obviously, that was going to inhibit his salvation because of the love of money. Okay, once again, the parable of the sower, the third group, right? They abandoned, they didn't bear any fruit because of the cares of the deceitfulness. Remember that word, deceitfulness, because it's all a lie. Our true riches are in the Lord, okay? And it really is actual tangible riches once you get to know him, okay? And when I say tangible, I don't mean like money, but what I mean is like, I don't want to explain it, but you can just feel it in the spirit. You're like blessed without, beyond measure when you're with him and you feel like you're balling, you know? You feel like you're extremely wealthy. So the third group abandons the cares, it gets choked up, right? The gospel gets choked up by the cares of this world, and then they don't bear any fruit. It's only the last group, right? Last group, parable of the sower, that bears much fruit, right? I think he says like sevenfold, but anyways, or hundredfold. So you've got these two sources of provision, and we always want to make sure that we're getting our provision from God, okay? The difference is that his provision will always require humility. It's always his plan first, okay? And we're always doing it according to his kingdom, okay? This is really important because having this understanding, because see, God is always playing for keeps. His focus is always eternity and our salvation, okay? So if we go through a season of, you know, financial hardship or even homelessness, and he's got to do that to break us of our pride, because our pride has got us on a path to hell, he will allow this to happen, okay? He is always playing for keeps. That's why he says that, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then these things will be added unto you. Because we need to be living in God's will, seeking God's will, because this is evidence of salvation. This is how this works, okay? He's always focused on eternity, okay? That's always numero uno, okay? And so that's the difference with his provision. He takes care of us, but it's always going to be priority number one is our salvation. Priority number one is are we bearing fruit? Things like that. So if he's got to, you know, play with and have us go through a season of suffering, whatever it is, okay, for our salvation, or maybe he's trying to work on people around us, whatever it is, it's always according to his will and his timing and his plan. That's the difference. That's why often it involves trials, okay? Because he's trying to work things out of us. He's trying to fix us. He's trying to get us squared away. And then comes the provision, okay? Because he's always trying to look out for what's actually best for us, okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then these things will be added to you. So we seek his will for our lives, okay? And we seek him with all our mind, body, and soul. And then he provides for us afterwards. But everything's in order, okay? Now, the gods of this world will also provide, though. And this is what we need to understand about these devils masquerading as angels of light, right? That are all along this false path, this deceiving path of salvation, right? They are also, you have to understand this, okay? They are also providing, okay? Remember, Jesus was in the desert 40 days after fasting, and the devil said, you know, this is my kingdom, and I'll give it on to you, you know what I mean, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus did not say you're a liar, right? Because what do we know from Ephesians, okay? And then also, too, 1 John chapter 5. He says that that the whole world lies under wickedness, and we know that Satan is the ruler of this world. That's what Ephesians says, the dark powers and rulers of this world, okay? So they have access to things, and they can give people stuff, okay? When they bow down and worship, right? If Satan said it to Jesus, then it certainly can happen to these people that are deceived in these churches when they're bowing down and worshiping another Christ, which once again, okay, it says this in the letters, right? Paul says, if anybody comes to you with another Christ, let them be anathema, right? Why? Because there are another Christs. There are other Christs out there, okay? This is what Jesus says in Matthew 24. He says, many shall come in my name and all this, right? And that's what's in these churches is another Christ. And so literally, scripturally bowing down and worshiping another Christ, and they're gaining material goods or other things in their life. Okay, this is a scriptural, a spiritual principle we need to understand. As they bow down and worship and give heed to another Christ, right? That these they are actually being given things. Okay, so we don't want to be confused. Okay, and look at them and let that mix us up. No, we have to understand biblically, scripturally, spiritually. We've got to understand with absolute clarity so we know what's going on, so we don't get confused. Right? These things are giving them stuff. Okay.
It's like this. The devil will give you stuff to keep you in business, okay? He's all about his will, about his kingdom, and advancing, obviously, the kingdom of darkness. So if someone is promoting the prosperity gospel and quoting scripture that's false, they'll keep, you know, the devil will keep them in business to keep that stuff going, okay? We have to really understand this. The devil gives stuff to people, okay? He will certainly give stuff to people if they are promoting something of his, okay, be it false doctrine, sin, whatever. We see this. That's why, you know, so many celebrities are rich and they're promoting such a sinful lifestyle. The devil will keep people going and keep that moving and give them what they need to keep that going if it's going to help lead souls to hell, okay? I don't mean to be so harsh, but it's just the truth. We got to understand that, because if we don't understand that, we'll get confused, okay? The devil has access to goods in this world, okay? He's a ruler, the prince of, he's the ruler of this world, and he will give it to people to continue his the advancement of the dark powers, okay? To advance the kingdom of darkness, okay? I pray I'm explaining that well and that makes sense. These people don't realize that they're doing this, okay, because they're deceived, but you got to understand, okay, that as they're continuing on this path and they're getting stuff and they think everything's great, what are they doing, right? They're telling people, you should read this book. You should come to my church, right? You just need to pray like this. They don't realize it, but they're spreading a false gospel, okay? And so they are advancing the kingdom of darkness. They're lost, they're deceived, they're confused, okay? We have to understand that, okay? I'm not here, I'm not trying to like beat them up or anything, but we just have to understand the mechanics of this whole thing, okay? I pray that that makes sense. All right, but you can discern the difference, okay? You can discern the difference if you take a look at the fruit that's being bared, okay? The Lord does provide for us, but it requires submission unto him, and it's according to his will. So there's a crucifying of our flesh. We're not carnal with it, okay? We die to self, serving God, okay, and understanding that our lives here on earth are temporary, okay, and it's, we're just vessels to advance the kingdom of God, okay, understanding and believing that he will provide for us, but it's not necessarily going to be what we want, okay, but the process in which he works is different. It's all about his kingdom, his authority, right? We're always submitted onto him, and then he's he rewards us because afterwards, but he's focused on our salvation. So he's always about getting us to get through things through faith, okay? And then so that we can have that, you know, so that we will be proven worthy. We keep going through these things, and then at the end he settles everything once again, right? It says we look at what happened with Job, right? That's what James says, how the Lord is pitiful and merciful, and, you know, he takes care of people. But look what Job went through, okay? Now, the difference is they're not doing this on the other road, okay? They might do it in, like, sort of a counterfeit way, but you can see the difference. It's, like, fake. It's, like, fool's gold, okay, that's being, you know, built about in these people. It's not real hardcore, like, suffering and trials, okay? It's like there may be no trials, depending on how deceiving the spirit is that's ruling over their doctrine. But there may be some trials, but, you know, it's like it's just, it's producing fool's gold. You can see it if you ask the Lord to reveal it to you. It's like it's fake because what it is that they're always pursuing the love of things in this world, okay? It's like if you could look,
you could see like that their faith and their heart is connected, because it says in the book of Corinthians, it's like it says body is celestial and body is terrestrial, and it talks about the atmosphere and where these things rule, and it's all here. It's like what you can see with your eyes, okay? And so but faith, and so what it is like the things that they're getting, the faith that they're building, it's all here. You can just see where they're looking, and it's all according to the powers of this world. It's not up and according to like the deeper things of God and the plan of God. Okay, so it's like you can just kind of see that where it is that their faith is being built. It's being built here carnally, and there's a very specific reason for that. Because what's happening is that as they're along this path, okay, they're becoming more and more worldly, okay, not otherworldly. And you can see this because we start talking about them, about eternity in heaven. They're not focused on that. Okay, they're focused on the good things of God here in this world, the here and the now, the things they can see with their eyes, specifically because the powers of this world are getting them, are teaching them to focus on that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hebrews says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So it may be, oh, I'm working for the things not seen, but they're working for the things that are seen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they're focused on what they're going to get with the here and now. It's really slick, and because God does provide here on earth, but the difference is that we're always looking up to the Lord and focused on heavenly things and eternity. Like, that's our focus, is eternity, okay? We see this as like temporary, and we're just here to get a job done, and then we're boom, our focus is going to heaven. You know what I mean? But they're always here. And so you can discern, because they're not really concerned with like eternity. It's everything's about the here and the now. And then when you look at the fruit that's being bared, because see, this doctrine feeds the flesh. They actually will bear fruit to the flesh. It's like they've become, you know, obviously more covetousness. There's a lack of self-control. It's just like if you look in Galatians, I think it's chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, I think, you see the difference of the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. Like, they're not bearing fruit of the Holy Ghost. They're bearing fruit of the flesh. And so when you see them, their walk, it's just, it's not bearing that fruit that we're supposed to be bearing. So you could see, discern, like, what's going on, you know? So you have these deceiving angels talking to them about the here and now, having them focus on the here and now, rewarding them with the here and now, okay? Which is very, very, very tricky, because what it's doing is it's yielding this fruit of worldliness and carnalness, and it's getting their focus here and now. And it's ultimately a salvation issue, okay? Because eventually what ends up happening is it's a 1-2 combo. They're rewarding them and getting them with the here and now, and then they send them other spirits, okay, unclean spirits, and attack everything that they have, okay? And then they send other ones, spirits, okay? It's these people, they're just under like heavy attack. They can't see it because they're talking about the here and now, and they're giving them stuff. And then another deceiving spirit will go and attack the stuff that they've given them. And then another deceiving spirit will go and say, oh, did you really believe in that God that was taught, that, you know what I mean, that was taught? If God loves you, then why is he letting this happen to you? You know what I mean? You know, if God gave this to you, why is he taking it away? You understand what I'm saying? It's like just boom, 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 boom. It's like these people are just right hook, left hook. You know, it's just like over and over again. And the spirit, and ultimately what it is, it's the setup to get them to, well, there's a couple of end games with this path, but they try to get people to abandon their faith. Okay, because ultimately these people have the deception that things will be good here in this world. They believe a lie. Okay, then they get heavy attacks. Okay, upon the things, whatever it may be, that they were told, you know, they should, that you know, will always be okay. They're told everything will be okay, and then boom, they get their life gets attacked, where everything is not okay. Right, they go through trials, and then boom, other spirits hit them and say, "Well, why did you believe in God? Obviously he's not real, because you know, look at what's happening to your life, right? Okay, your life is hard, right? So if God is real, why is this happening to you?" Okay, you see how it's do heavy attack. Okay, and what happens is first of all, God never said that, right? He never promised that everything would be okay. Eventually he makes it okay. Okay, he does promise that he will take care of us. But what I mean, I shouldn't say he never promises everything will be okay. He does. Okay, the Lord does take care of us, and he does come through for us, but he promises that there will be suffering. He warns us about all this stuff, suffering, trials, all of it. First Peter, I think it's chapter 5, says, "Don't be surprised when various trials befall you." It's like, don't be surprised. They're going to come. Like, we're fully warned about trials because this is what proves us worthy for the kingdom of God. You understand what I'm saying? But they don't tell them that because they don't want them to know that, right? Because when the suffering and trials do come, which they could be coming from demonic entities, because a lot of times there's a lot of sin in these people's lives, okay? Because obviously, once again, they're not teaching them in these churches about sin, okay? So it could be attacks directly from open doors due to sin, or it could just be good old-fashioned attacks, okay? They can happen both ways. We want to obviously avoid sin, mainly because, you know, first and foremost, God says so. But then also, too, we have to understand the spiritual principle. Do not be deceived. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap of the flesh. So if we sow in sin, we will reap the fruit of sin, okay? We will literally grant access, okay, in our lives to the enemy to attack us if we abide in sin, right? So you can just see how this is like just a complete attack on someone who is going to seek the things of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? They teach them pretty much, they don't, I'm not going to say they teach them to sin, but they don't warn them about sin, which is pretty much the same difference because we still have flesh. Okay, that's why the Bible warns us about sin over and over again, because God knows we're prone to it. And we need to be warned about sin over and over again, amen? Because it's going to be a constant temptation. So they avoid the concept of sin, which is pretty much the same as almost, you know, encouraging it, because, you know, that's one of the main things we need to hear about on a regular basis is to avoid temptation, right? The Our Father prayer says, lead us not into temptation. It's like a primary thing that we need to be, you know, avoiding is sin, right? And then they don't warn them about the suffering. Do you see what I'm saying? So they open them up to attacks because they're not being warned about sin. So they've got a lot of attacks a lot of times in their life. Then boom, you know, so there's extra suffering, not just the suffering that God promised, but then also extra suffering due to that sin. And then boom, the lie, right? That your life is going to be good. Okay, which is not true, okay? The Lord promises suffering. And so they're lied to that their life is going to be good, and then boom, what's the goal? What's the end game? Get them to quit their faith, and then, you know, we have to keep that faith until the end, amen? So if you abandon the faith, you've fallen away, okay? Now, that's the one end game, okay, that these people are under attack on, to abandon the faith, okay? Now, for those who don't abandon the faith, okay, and that keep going, this is the further down the line is the arrival of the Antichrist, okay? What is happening is a lot of these churches are talking about an earthly reign, but they're not discussing 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, right, verses 1 through 4, about warning about the great falling away and the revealing of the Antichrist prior to it. They're not talking about the persecution, okay, that the Lord warns us about in Matthew 24. They're not discussing any of these things, okay? What they're doing is they're trying to deceive people, because if someone is actually, you know, the people that are actually saved and on this path, like, they can feel the return of Christ coming, and so they're slipping in there, okay, and trying to deceive people and give them this impression that they're going to wake up one day and Christ is going to be ruling. Avoiding all the scriptures that warn about the stuff that will happen before the return of Jesus Christ, okay? And so what happens is these people are becoming more and more carnal, more and more worldly, right? So they're setting them up to believe, okay, and think in earthly terms, worldly terms, okay? And then they're not warning them about the stuff that's going to happen before the return of Jesus Christ, all the persecution, the great falling away, none of that stuff. And then they're setting them up to have this idea, okay, of an earthly reign of Christ, okay? And where this... And so what's going to happen is that when the Antichrist does show up on the scene for his first, okay, and then the Lord has, Jesus Christ has a 1,000-year millennial rule, okay? This first rule is going to be a giant test for the believers in Christ, okay, for a counterfeit rule, okay? But those who know their God, right, it says this in Daniel, okay, that he says that many will fall, okay, giving heed to flatteries, okay, but those who know their God, okay, will remain, and then also too, he talks about they will be made white with like snow, okay, and be purged with much like suffering and persecution, those who do know their God. So this other reign is going to pop up, and see what happens is these deceiving spirits, okay, that are masquerading as the angel of light, that are blessing them and answering their prayers. You have to understand their prayers are probably really being answered, okay, but their prayers are not according to the will of God, they're according to the powers of this world, and the powers of this world are answering them. I hope that makes sense, okay? Because they can't do that, okay? Because the devil's very legalistic. So if you are worshiping him, which unfortunately some of them are, okay, and you'll see this because if you start talking to them about the real Jesus, they feel like you're being mean, okay? Or they feel like you don't love them, okay? Their definition of love is twisted, okay? There's no truth in it, okay? A really good response is to ask who exemplifies love more than anybody, right? Jesus Christ does, of course, right? Well, let's go ahead and read how he talks, okay? And then we look at all the things Jesus says not to do. How about the Father? Because they're one, right? And let's read the Old Testament and see how God talks. See, God loves us, but he doesn't, excuse my language, but he doesn't kiss our backside. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's flattery. They're being deceived into thinking that love is flattery. It's two totally different ball games, okay? Love tells you the truth. It's not going to let you walk headfirst into fire and get burned up without saying stop. You're walking into fire. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we want to speak with love, but their understanding of love, we also understand, is also very warped, okay? Because they're being taught love is flattery, okay? And they're two opposite things. Flattery is meant to get you hurt, whereas love, flattery is like a pushing of the tongue. That's the only way I could see it. Like when I look at the serpent and it flicks out its tongue, it's like flattery is real seductive, and it kind of pushes and nudges a person in this direction, that direction, and boom, pushes them right into the fire. You understand what I'm saying? Flattery is really dangerous. Okay, it's very like manipulative. Whereas love is honest, it rejoices in truth, okay? It's long-suffering, okay? Like it takes care of you, okay? And it'll tell you no when the answer is no because it's not good for you, okay? So anyways, back to understanding the end game, looking down the road, these deceiving spirits are making people more and more carnal so that when worldly rule, right, that is like lawless, okay, because it says a man of lawlessness, so it's not like, going to have anything to do with like righteousness and stuff like that, or maybe a counterfeit righteousness, but not true righteousness, right? Antichrist rule is setting them up to be more and more worldly, to love the things of this world, giving them stuff even, okay, that they're going to be attached to, so that when the Antichrist comes and sets up his reign and they're dealt with the choice, you can't buy, sell, or trade without this mark, well, they'll say, well, of course, God gave it to me, so of course he wants me to have it, let me take the mark. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or, of course, God gave this and he wouldn't want me to lose it, so it must be his will for me to keep this, okay? So it's just a bunch of lies and deception, and the end game is to get them to bow down and worship the Antichrist. Because when the persecution comes, they've been believing all along that God, wants their life to be perfect. So when the test comes, will you bow down and worship the Antichrist or forsake all for Jesus Christ? They're going to believe that they're not supposed to hand it over because, look, God's been taking care of me all my life this way. And, this is his will for me to be happy and everything to be okay all the time, 24/7, And so he wouldn't want me to suffer, right? That's the main, sort of hole that you can see in this teaching is the suffering, okay? They don't understand that suffering brings about righteousness, okay? So that's the end game. That's where it's going. Now, dealing with people like this that we have to understand is they will actually, as they're giving heed to these seducing spirits, will actually persecute real Christians, okay? And they will actually be used at times, which is really important, and you have to have an answer for these people and know our scriptures, okay? It says that in... it's 1 Samuel, right, where Saul doesn't, I can't remember the king's name, but there's a king that he was supposed to kill, right? And he didn't do it. And then Samuel shows up and he says, why didn't you kill the king the way you were instructed to? And then Samuel, who's he's a priest, he goes to work and chops him to pieces, okay? Now, we don't do this now, obviously, because this is a new dispensation of grace. What are we supposed to do? We fight spirits, right? We fight unclean spirits for battling against flesh and blood, against principality, spiritual wickedness in high places, right? But we're going to do the same thing to these spirits when they show up, okay? And they're surrounding these people because they literally are. You have to understand that. When they go in, these things are all over the place. They're in these churches. They follow these people home. They deceive them as they're trying to read their scriptures and twist stuff, okay? So you have to understand that your battle is against those things. And when they come to you and they say things to you, you have to understand that you're battling those things. And the way you get to slicing and dicing those spirits that are in their ears, okay, or possibly... pray not, but possibly even they could be in them, I don't know, depending on where this person's at. The way you get to slicing and dicing those spirits, okay, just like Samuel did, is with what, the sword of the word, okay, your Bible. So we got to know our Bibles, because we hit up with boom, no, okay, we've been promised suffering, right? Calculate the cost, boom, No, he says, do not be surprised, you know, when various trials befall you. Boom, no, James, right? The testing of my patience, worketh faith, you know what I mean? Just all this scripture, okay? All the scripture, I'm rich in Christ, right? Ephesians, just boom, boom, boom. The Holy Spirit will lead you because it depends on what will work with them the best. But you got to know your scripture, because what happens is these things will actually send them to you to attack you as you are suffering because you're walking a godly life, right? Once again, make sure, like it says in 1 Peter, that you're not suffering due to sin, though. Okay, he says, let none of you, be found to be like, you know, I can't remember what he says, but I put the scripture in the bottom. But he talks about, like, basically, don't get caught up in like suffering due to sin. That's useless. That's, you know, I mean, the Lord will use it for your good, but don't do that. Have a blameless walk, okay? But if when they come to you and say, well, you know, you're all this and you believe all this, and why are you suffering so much? And you answer, because I'm being proved worthy for the kingdom of God. As I, you know, go through each trial, you know what I mean? The Lord will take care of me. The Lord is my rewarder. He will, you know, see me through this. But each trial is working my faith, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what the Bible says, okay? So you go to slicing and dicing these lies that are around the person with your sword of the word, okay? Because none of this stuff stands up in the light of scripture. But you got to know your Bible, okay?
And on a side note, I strongly recommend, this is just a suggestion, that you always pray. Before you open up your Bible, you can ask, Lord, help me to retain your word. Help me. You can put it on your prayer list. You know, whatever it is, but just pray as you're reading and as you are making the effort. You got to, you know, scripture says that that the horse is prepared, but safety is of the Lord. So we prepare the horse, the Lord brings the victory, right? He teaches us, but we got to show up to class, right? Same thing with the scripture. We crack open our Bibles. We look at it. We read it. We listen to it. Put it in our, you know, listen to it throughout the day. You can listen to it in your car, put it in your iPod or whatever. You make the effort to get the word of God in there. But you, I just personally, because I had a really hard time memorizing scripture, but I just kept praying, Lord, help me to learn my Bible. Help me to remember this. Help this to stick in my mind. And he did it. Just one day, I just started talking to a sister and just like water, scripture started pouring out of my mouth. And I knew it wasn't me because I have a horrible memory. So you can just ask the Lord, you know, pray that, you know, it really does, he'll answer that prayer because it's according to his will that he'll help you remember his word. You know, you just do your part and then let the Holy Ghost supernaturally just boom, stick it in your head. Because as you are walking, they will actually be used to persecute you, okay? And falsely accuse you, okay, on things. But it's why you gotta make sure that our walks are blameless, okay? Because we want it to be a false accusation, okay? Because we're not abiding and living in sin. These trials are brought about to bring about our, like it says, that prove us worthy for the kingdom of God. Because see, our road is paved with this like fire refining of this refining of gold. Okay, we go through these trials, we go through the heat, and it says like in Jeremiah, okay, all the bad stuff is scraped away as when gold goes through the fire, and then you have it come out and it's more pure. Okay, and once again, boom, it goes through more pure. Boom, goes through again more pure. Okay, and so we always don't have an answer for these people because they will actually persecute us. Got to be aware of that. And then another thing to be aware of is no matter what they look like. God is so good, because I actually encountered someone. This is like my first like real encounter with this. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just said pride the first time I met them. And I was like, what? I was like, this lady is so sweet. How could there be tons of pride, right? I didn't understand. But these things, you have to understand, this is what's going on in the spirit. We want to see in the spirit, okay, and be as wise as a serpent, as innocent as dove. So we got to know what they're up to. You see, if a person is truly saved and they're lost on this path, the Holy Ghost is talking to them every single time they kneel down and pray for something, you know, before seeking God's kingdom. The Holy Ghost is trying to humble them and say, no, you seek my kingdom first, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Be it money, be this, be that. The Holy Ghost is trying to humble them and say, no, not your will be done, my will be done, right? That's the prayer. Okay, God's will be done. Okay, but these deceiving spirits are lying to them, telling them, oh, that's just fear. That's just a lack of faith, right? Twisting scripture and stuff. And so as they're kneeling down supposedly to pray to God, right? The Holy Ghost is saying, no, you need to change your prayers. You need to seek me first. You need to humble yourself before me. But then they're being taught to actually ignore the Holy Spirit's correction. And they're being told that it's legalistic, it's a Pharisee, whatever it is, or whatever, depending on the church and these what these particular demons are teaching them, these devils, I'm sorry, are teaching them. They're actually being taught to ignore the Holy Spirit
and override him and pray and just force their own prayers up there. Do you see what I'm saying? So they're doing this continually. So just be aware that when a Christian it's not funny, but I'm just saying, like, just, you have to understand. We got to understand the mechanics that are going on behind closed doors, because when you understand the mechanics that are going on behind closed doors, it'll make things much easier for you, because we want to war for these people, because there are sheep in there, and our goal is to get them out, right? So you have to understand, if they're warring against the Holy Ghost, okay, in their prayer closet and when they're reading their scriptures, because they're listening to these seducing spirits, which are telling them to pray for what they want, right, and to walk in the flesh and to satisfy their own carnal needs, okay, and pray for their own carnal needs without humbling themselves before God, then they're already kind of practicing warring against the Holy Spirit. So they may look a certain way, and it may not look like it, but the pride is through the roof, okay? So you're going to have to really bind and loose. You really got to go in there with your warfare. You really got to be ready with these people, okay? You really got to understand what you're up against, okay? Don't walk into it blind, okay? Because a lot of times they can look one way, but in the spirit, they've just been feeding their pride, like, through the roof, and they just, you have to war in the spirit, okay? Just be aware of this fact, okay? So you really want to pray, you want to bind and silence, you know what I mean, these deceiving spirits every time that you know, before you go in to talk to them, or be it in prayer. You want to pray for revelation, you want to loose the spirit. You really got to go in and go to war on these things, okay? Also, too, you need to be aware that they are being taught to ignore you in these churches, okay? Because what happens is these deceiving, these ministers are masquerading as an angel of light, and this doctrine of demons, it slips in there, like teaching a twist scripture about the Pharisees and a twist scriptures about the law, okay? And it uses them inappropriately, okay, to actually arm people with, like, the mindset that any Christian that approaches them to try and tell them the truth is like a Pharisee or legalistic. You understand what I'm saying? And so they're actually being, so don't, what I'm trying to say is don't take it personal, okay? Don't get upset with these people. You have to understand that as they're listening to this stuff, they're actually being taught to ignore Christians. They don't know it, okay? Most of the time they're blind to this, but they're being taught that, like, anybody, it's slipped into, like, the teaching. Anybody who comes up to you, because they'll do it flippantly. It depends on the teaching in the church, where they'll say, oh, you know, those, some people will say blah, 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 right? Or these people, you know, some Christians think blah, 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 blah. And all what they're trying to do is get their mind preset that if you come to them and talk to them about sin, if you talk to them about eternity, if you talk to them about not loving the things of this world, that somehow you are a legalistic Christian that, you know, thinks Jesus, you know, wants hardship for them and all this other stuff. So the only way to war with this, once again, you need to go into these situations prayed up. Don't go blind, okay? You gotta know what you're dealing with. You gotta know what kind of devil you're dealing with, okay? And then you need to go in suited up in all authority of God, binding and loosing before you deal with these people, okay, and be aware of how their mind, you know, this is to help you, but the Holy Spirit, you know, probably has already exposed this to you, but if he hasn't, he will, you know, help to use this to help you see more clearly, you know, pray this so you can see these things in the Spirit more clearly, you know, and then you need to go in with your word, okay? Now the focus really with these people, walk according to the Spirit, because he's got specific instructions for dealing with each one of these people, but ultimately what reveals this stuff is the word of God, okay? So really the focus has got to be on the tangible KJV word of God, okay? But you just need to be aware of what these things are teaching them, what's going on behind closed doors, and so that when you go in, you know what's going on. And you've got to have your helmet of salvation, of the true gospel, the helmet that the salvation of the real narrow path for yourself, okay? Because unfortunately, until these people are set free and delivered of these spirits and repent of this false teaching and serving another Christ, okay, and get on the real path, they are actually going to sometimes, I pray to God, unknowingly, okay, depends on the person, obviously, be spreading this false teaching, okay? Because you have to understand, this is how it works. There's spirits in these churches. That's what the Bible says. It says doctrine of devils. What does that mean? That there's devils teaching this stuff, right? And so there's, you know, deceiving spirits all up in these churches, you know, and with these teachings, these books, whatever they're listening to. And then these things are following them around. And so they even sometimes will quote scripture, and it's weird. And you're like, what? You know what I mean? But you got to discern, because some of them are just blind and lost, okay? Now, obviously, if someone is a heretic, right, I think it's Titus, I can't remember what verse and chapter, it's the book of Titus, he says, the man who was a heretic, once, twice, you rebuke them, and then you just hand them over and pray for them, okay? So if someone's actually teaching this stuff, Scripture has doctrine for dealing with them, okay? You got to be direct and deal with these people, don't play. But if someone is lost, and you could tell the difference because they'll hear you out, okay? They're not actually promoting the doctrine. They're just kind of like confused, okay? You could tell by the way that you deal with them when you talk. Let it be led of the Spirit, but you got to discern between an actual heretic that's teaching these things, okay? It's a different ballgame versus a lost sheep that just needs to learn their Bible and is just, you know, caught up. And it is a cult, okay? It is a cult, okay? All these things, these false, it's the same as if they were like in religion or were like Mormon or something. You understand what I'm saying? It is like an actual cult with deceiving spirits all around it and doctrine and false teaching. It's another Christ, okay? So what you need to do is understand that, what you're dealing with, and then also know that these things are around them. That's why you got to really bind, you got to really loose. These things are around them. So as they're listening to them and everything, like sometimes the responses to you, stuff will be from this teaching. You got to understand that these things are talking to them 24/7, following around until they repent and break with these things, okay? They're granting these things permission to follow them around and actually like repeat this stuff, okay? And so, but the way that you go at them, once again, is with the sword of the word, okay? I've actually sat down with people and you could just get that sword and you can just see it just slicing at all these things that are around them, okay? Because there's no, they have no power in the presence of the word of God, okay? And then also what you want to take a look at when you're looking at the scripture, because it doesn't really seem like it, but a lot of times with this, you know, cheap grace doctrine, which teaches that you can like sin, you know, as much as you want, you know what I mean, and nothing bad will ever happen as long as you have faith or whatever, or like you won't like fall away. What you want to address, you know, there's tons of scripture that talks about this. It talks about Hebrew with willful sin, and then, you know, I think I already said this for you, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, right? It says, he that sinneth is not born of God, right? So if we sin willfully, we just practice sin, we're not saved because the Holy Ghost won't let us do that. But also, too, what you really do want to address with them is the truth that we only know sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what they don't understand and why this doctrine is so dangerous is because Scripture says that sin blinds and it can deceive a person. And if we keep quenching the Holy Spirit and disobeying Him and then feeding the flesh by sinning and giving into it, then we're drifting farther and farther away from the path. And the problem is that the farther we go off of this path, okay, because God is merciful and He is forgiving, okay, the Lord will forgive us. But the problem is that as a person drifts away so far from the path and keeps quenching the Holy Ghost, okay, that you can fall away, okay, because the bottom line is we won't even know what sin is if we ignore the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we can all see this when we look back in our lives, if we struggled in a certain area, that the more you sinned, the easier it was to sin and the harder it was to stop sinning. When we're walking in power and victory under the submission of the Holy Ghost, like, it's easier to overcome the more that we do it. But when we stumble and fall, and we can always get back up. But what I'm talking about here, I'm not talking about, like, you know, Scripture says, well, actually this is, it says a righteous man falls 7 times and rises back up again, right? And gets back up. Okay, so they don't just keep sinning, but the wicked fall into, and then they're just done, right? So what happens is when someone keeps sinning and they're not repenting and getting back up, they're going into very dangerous territory here, because we only know ultimately what the root of it is, pride. Okay, it's the belief that I could be all the way off in left field, have been practicing sin where I knew better, right? Because I got saved and I'm practicing sin, right? He was talking about the sinning willfully, okay? And the thing is that if you're all the way over there, the truth of the matter is that if you keep hardening your heart to the Holy Ghost, after a while you won't even know what sin is, okay? Because we're carnal. And the carnal mind is enmity with God. And if you keep listening to the carnal mind, okay, then you're going to be so far off and you'll have been practicing hardening your heart to the Holy Ghost. That's why this doctrine is so dangerous and really is a salvation issue. It's not just doctrinal. It's not just a matter of opinion, because it's a deep spiritual war, okay, until we die. We got to keep the faith, right, and stay on the narrow path, he says, right? So if you're all the way off into left field practicing willful sin, well, you're now ignoring the Holy Spirit, okay, and quenching the Spirit repeatedly, okay? And God is forgiving, but how far before you just convince yourself and you lie to yourself, okay, because you're going back into the darkness, right? You saw the light, you were in the light, but you're going back into the darkness, you just get lost. It can happen, okay? It can happen. Go off into the dark like that repeatedly, okay? You can get lost. It's what's called falling away, and it's a very real danger, okay? Because you get caught up with the things of this world and just love it more than the Lord and get completely lost, okay? And not even know that you're sinning, okay? That's how sin works, okay? The more that we're conformed to the image of Christ, the deeper sin goes, the more we understand exactly what it is, okay? And the things that we didn't even know were sin back then, okay? We know now are sin. So we don't want to go backwards, right? And then get off the path and start dwelling in sin, thinking that we're good enough to even understand our own sin. We don't even know our own sin without the Holy Spirit. That's the truth, okay? The Holy Spirit is what, he is the light that reveals our sin and teaches us to confess. So if we ignore the Holy Ghost and keep quenching him and keep quenching him and hardening our heart to him, the thought that we could, in that state, even know what to repent of on our own, it's bad news. It's dangerous territory. So this stuff really is bad, okay? It really is dangerous stuff. Not to be afraid or anything, but you know, the bottom line is not how much sin we can get away with, right? And then come back. No, it's a dangerous game right there. It's dangerous to think that we can be swimming in sin and know how to, like, even repent, okay? Because you can't. I'm telling you, the only reason why we know how to repent is because the Holy Spirit exposes our sin. I mean, let's face it. Before we got saved, we were fine with sin. We didn't have any problem with it, right? So we don't want to go back. Where it's, But the thing is that the goal now is to pray continually to resist temptation, right? And to heed the will of God and to listen to the Holy Ghost. Because the book of Hebrews says that you can't crucify Christ again afresh. And 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about it would be better for them to have never known the truth, right? Then to turn back, okay? And it talks about as a dog returns to its own vomit, okay? So basically, we're in darkness, and then they got to receive the gospel, and they're going back out into the darkness. This is dangerous stuff, okay? So so this is why that, like, you can sin as much as you want. Doctrine is so dangerous. It's super, super, super dangerous. It's what Scripture warns against, okay? And so just know your Scriptures, okay, and talk to them about this stuff, okay? I'm not saying that they're beyond hope, but it's just when you know the truth and then you're being taught in these churches to harden your heart and just continue sinning, okay? And then they just kind of go, you're basically being taught, oh, go hang out in the dark. Even though you've seen them, like, go hang out in the dark, and you're going to be okay. You can find your way back. You know, I mean, it's so dangerous stuff. So not to frighten anybody, but this is, you know, because a lot of times they focus on the mercy of God. That's not the point. God is merciful. The issue is the corruptness and the wickedness, Jeremiah says, of the human heart, okay? And if you do that, I think that's getting close to, like, it's just dangerous stuff. If you do that and know the truth and, you know, trample on the blood of Christ and go back out there and get into nasty stuff, you're playing with death. You're playing with death because you can get lost out there. It's dangerous stuff. So the goal is, because they focus, what they do is they twist the Scripture in these places and talk about God's mercy. God is merciful, but that's not the point. The point is our free will, okay? He is merciful. He's merciful. He will forgive, but we have to understand the implication and the that he will never override our own free will. So if we willfully choose, like Hebrews says, to go out back into the darkness and continue hardening our heart, we have to understand, okay, that he's not going to override our free will. And we do have the free will to turn away from God, okay? And like Hebrews talks about, abandon, okay? This is like the road with Jesus Christ is salvation, okay? It's the salvation. It's the road to heaven. It's the road to the Father. It's like abandoning that path and going off on another path, okay? And believing a false teaching and then walking upon it that's going to crumble and fall into, you know, it's going to fall into, I mean, it's there's only one path. That's Jesus Christ. The other path is not to heaven. I'm just so careful about, you know, because I want these, but it's the truth. It's to eternal death, okay? It's to eternal damnation, okay? If we don't follow the path and stay in the path and the narrow road to Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ to the Father, and we abandon it, like Hebrews says, and, you know, there remains no more sacrifice. There's no other option if you're on a false path, okay? So these places, they focus on the mercy of God, which, yes, he is merciful, but we have free will, and we can't abandon the truth. We can't abandon the path. Okay, and sin willfully and get lost in the dark. We can do that, okay? That's why we don't play with sin. And a good biblical way to address the discernment of flattery versus actual love is when we look at the scriptures, because a lot of these places are teaching them a false version of love, which is flattery. And then so they won't listen to you because you're not, like, you know, flattering them, okay? You could just once again go to the scriptures, talk about Jesus, talk about the Father, okay, the Holy Trinity, and how they talk, okay? Because, you know, obviously God loved Israel, but at one time he called them a prostitute. Right? You know, obviously Jesus Christ loved Peter, but at a certain point he called him Satan. Okay. But then also too, he says, you know, come, you know, Jesus gave his life for us, and the Father, you know, he talks about, desiring to, you know, be like a hen to Israel. So, you know, the Bible is a good illustration of how God is love, right? He's our main focus of love, but yet he speaks the truth. And sometimes when we need to hear it, and it's a little bit, you know, we're not listening, he gives it to us harsh so that we will listen, because the ultimate goal is to save us from ourselves, okay? So when they try to give you a hard time about, like, you know, that you're not being loving, they want this flattery talk, once again, turn to the scripture and say, hey, listen, nobody knows love better than God, right? Let's listen to how he talks to Israel. Let's listen to how, you know, Jesus talks to Peter sometimes, okay? And he even says, oh, faithless and adulterous generation, how long shall I suffer you? And then he upbraids the Pharisees, but then later he cries. You know what I mean? So we look at the scriptures, we see Jesus talks really harsh sometimes, but the reason why is because they're on their way to perdition, to hell, and God doesn't want that for them. And so they're not listening with a gentle word. They're not listening with, you know, a soft, you know, touch, then you're going to shout at him because he wants them to be safe.
On a side note, though, talking about love, you don't make sure your heart is right before the Lord when you're praying for these people and when you're warring for them. Ask the Lord to search your heart and remove any self-exaltation or conceit, okay? This stuff is really dangerous, okay? Because what I have seen is Christians who, you know, they have the right scriptures, they know the truth, but nobody's listening to them and they're not getting through. And sometimes, yes, it can be a sign of the times, but sometimes the issue is the person's lifted up, okay, and exalting themselves, saying, I'm right, you're wrong, and then beating the person down. It's sort of like lifting themselves up and then looking down upon someone who's lost. Okay, and out there and in the dark. Don't do this, okay? Please. This is not a game. This is not an opportunity to feel good about yourself and be lifted up in pride and conceit. Okay? And think, you know, that you're somehow better than someone else because you know the truth and they don't. Listen, scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? Romans 3:23. Isaiah 53, for we all like sheep have gone astray. So even though you may have understanding in this area, there's another area where the Lord's working on you. Remember that when you're talking to them, okay? Remember that you have sinned. Remember that whatever the Lord's working on you about at that time, okay, because he's always working on us, okay, 24/7 until the very end, okay? He's constantly perfecting us. Remember that when you're talking to them because it'll humble you, okay? You're not lifting yourself up, okay, and beating the other person up. You're no better than them, okay? What you're doing is they've veered off the road, and you're reaching out your hand, and you're trying to pull them back onto the path, okay? But you're at the same level, okay? The only one that's lifted high up, okay, is God. That's it. We're all here on the same level, a horizontal level, a horizontal line, okay? And God is way up on the throne. Understand that. Remember that, okay? This is not a game. This is serious stuff. If you've ever come across someone, okay, if you've ever come across someone who says they don't believe in God because something bad happened to them, 9 times out of 10, this is the very attack that got them. It's serious. This is war, okay? This is war. The devils know that. They're trying to get people killed spiritually. They're trying to kill their faith. Sober up. Remember that. Humble yourself. Do you want that? Do you want that blood on your hands? That you help that in any way, shape, or form?
Do you want that before the Lord? Do you want it? It says this in Ezekiel chapter 3, right? It talks about his blood will I require at your hands. He talks about this, right? Do you want to sit there and have on your conscience that because you felt good about yourself, you saw an opportunity to be lifted up in conceit, and for this chance, finally, you were right and they're wrong, and you're going to rub it in their face. And then they didn't listen to you because nobody would listen to somebody like that. And you had a part in them getting lost in this very, very dangerous attack. You don't want that blood on your hands, okay? Please, if there's any self-exaltation, any temptation, if you're the type of person that struggles with saying, well, I told you so, please, God, get that straight before you step into this battle. Please, God, get that straight, okay? If you love just glorying in yourself and you just love it when you're right and others are wrong, please get that out of your heart before you step on this battlefield. It is not a game. I'm telling you, there are many, many, many people out there who have lost their faith because of this exact attack. It is not a game. It's serious stuff. Take it serious. Die to self. Get over yourself. Love with a pure heart. You don't need to prove to them love, okay? Because like we've already said, their idea of love is flattery and it's warped, and the Lord will have to straighten that out. But on your end, make sure you really love them and you really care and you really want to see them home and you're really afraid for them and you don't want to run into them 10 years down the line and they say they don't believe anymore because of all the bad stuff that happened to them, so they don't have any faith when you had the opportunity to tell them the truth and warn them, okay? Please take this serious. And also on a side note, a spiritual law you can't escape is Matthew 7 and 2, where it says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And he talks about this, like pressed down and filled up. What you'll find is if you do lack understanding that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all have our areas where the Lord is working on us, and allow that to humble you so that you're merciful. The scripture says to have your tongue seasoned with grace, right? Grace means none of us deserve salvation. None of us even should know anything. The only reason why we even know anything is because of the Holy Spirit, which is given to us by grace. So when you have that mind frame, that this information and this knowledge and wisdom that you have is nothing that you've ever obtained on your own, right? It's simply a gift of the Holy Ghost, right? You're super humble when you're dealing with people. But if you lack that and you have this sort of, I'm going to tell you about yourself when I don't look at my own self, you know what I mean? That lack of humility, which you'll find is, so please, be wise and heed my warning, is that you get chastened very quickly and harshly. What you'll see with your walk is that every single time you step out of line, it feels like you're getting whooped by the Lord. And what it is because it's like it says in scripture that with the merciful, he will show himself merciful. So when you are super humble with people, understanding that they're lost and coming from that perspective, just your mind frame is, I'm walking on this road and all I'm doing is leaning over, reaching out to you and trying to pull you on this road, right? No self-exaltation. I'm not lifted up and beating you down, right? I'm just reaching over trying to say, come here, come on, let's walk together. Let's go. We're all on the same road. Let's all get through this together. You know what I mean? Having a different attitude. What you'll find is that when a person that has, this is a spiritual principle that we can't escape. We got to understand that there are rules to this thing. And what happens is when you walk that way, what you'll find is that the Lord's merciful with you. So if you start stumbling and messing up and you get, caught up, and making mistakes, the Lord's like super gentle with his chastening, right? He doesn't come down with the hammer on you. It's like you see that there's a lot of patience and that, the consequences don't come quite as fast and there's like just a lot of mercy. But if you're not like that and you like to beat people up and be harsh with them, then what you'll find is you step out of line and it's just like, boom, your hand, is getting slapped. I've seen this with people where it's like they don't understand why, they've got such a harder walk where they barely make a mistake and they're getting whooped, right? And you can see the reason why is because they lack that mercy with others, okay? They don't take the time to understand where they're coming from and be merciful. So therefore, when they step out of line, they're getting disciplined, okay? So just be wise with this. The more merciful you are, the more merciful the Lord will be with you. So it's just really important to have that kind of heart, because it really does open people's ears. When they know that you love them, they know that you, like I said, you know, the definition of love is warped, but don't worry about that. We just make sure our hearts are right with God, okay? And that we genuinely love these people, and that we genuinely are stepping out in faith, trying to bring them back onto the path, trying to pull them out of these places with real love before the Lord. And our hearts, if our hearts are squared away before the Lord, and we know that we're not, you know, full of ourselves and taking an opportunity to be lifted up in pride and be glorying in, you know, the fact that we know something, that we're right, and taking credit for what the Holy Spirit has given us, you know, in due season, the Lord will reveal it to these people that you really love them. Just, you know, you just have to be patient. But that's it. That's the key. Just making sure your heart's in the right place. And then also remember, pride comes before the fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. So if you struggle with that, the haughty spirit is like a lifted up self-exaltation type spirit. You know, this will inhibit your walk. You'll find that you lack power to overcome things, or, you know, stumble a lot. So just overall, it's just good to always be loving and merciful with people. And then another thing too, that I noticed, a tactic that these spirits do with the don'ts, like, this kind of goes along with them not addressing sin on a regular basis. When they hear the word don't, they'll go, well, you know what I mean? Let's not focus on the don'ts so much, right? This is a very worldly teaching. Okay, scripture is full of don'ts. The first command, do not eat of the tree, right? of good and evil, you know, lest thou die. Okay, so, you know, Bible, New and Old Testament, full of don'ts, okay? Because we need to, like, that's me with my, you know, with our youngest son, our toddler is just like, don't, why? You know what I mean? Because he needs to learn what to do and what not to do. So, you know, we got to hear the don'ts. And a lot of times when you're talking to someone about sin, you know, it'll be like this spirit of like, you know, well, let's not focus on the don'ts some more. Let's focus on the positive. This is not biblical. There's tons of don'ts. Once again, we just turn to the scriptures. There's tons of don'ts in there, because there's a lot of stuff in this world that will get us hurt, that is absolutely poisonous for us. And so this type of worldly spirit where it's like, let's not focus on the don'ts. Let's be, you know, more positive. It's a very slick tactic of the enemy, okay? Once again, you go back to the scriptures, you address that it's full of tons of don'ts, okay? Most importantly for us is don't take the mark of the beast, right? Amen? Okay, so we'll just leave it there for now, because that's a lot. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus Christ, help us by your, just please, oh Lord, we come to you with a pure heart to help us. We just ask, Lord, for your light and your guiding to help us, Lord. Help us to navigate this situation here in the United States. Open our eyes to how thick the deception is already all over the place, and how far away the mainstream church has gone from your Bible, from your scriptures, from your teachings, from you, Lord, from you. Like you said in Laodicean church, how you're on the outside knocking. Lord, I just pray for all of my sisters and for any church that they're attending or any church that they minister in, that you are on the inside of that church, not the outside, and that you come in and you sup with us. Lord, open our eyes, help us have understanding, and most importantly, Lord Jesus Christ, above all, help us never, ever, ever, ever receive any gospel that is ashamed of your scars. Any gospel that comes to us and tries to deceive us and tries to lie to us and denies your suffering and your scars, I pray by your grace and power, fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit to rebuke it and to cast it down and be so far away from it, because we're not ashamed of your suffering. It is by your stripes that we are healed. It is by what you went through that we will be able to go to heaven. And like the Apostle Paul says, he says he bears in his body the marks of a slave. Help us to see, Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves, that when we do go through these trials and when we do go through our suffering, when we look back, we will see that those are the points where we were the closest to you, where we heard you so loud in our minds and in our hearts, because as the flesh dies, as it needs to die, because it's not worth living, as the flesh is crucified daily, you live in us and you overtake us. And we need trials. We need trials to grow. We need to crucify our flesh. And so any gospel that comes to us trying to make us love this world and make us just be brought under the power of the dark powers of this age, Lord, help us to see it and rebuke it. And not only to rebuke it, but to just become nauseated with anything that would want us to fall in love with this world when we have the riches that are in Christ, when we have you. Lord, help us to be devoted with our mind, body, and soul, and to be passionately in love with you, and to say, you know what? If you're ashamed of the scars of Jesus Christ, then I don't want any part of you. I don't want any part of it. Because I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of his scars. Because I love him, and I'm so grateful for what he did for us. And as I get conformed to the image of Christ, as I'm renewed and transformed into what it is that you want me to be, I understand that there will be suffering. And it's hard for those of us that are in it right now. It's hard, but we love you. We just say we don't care about anything but you. And so whatever you have us go through, whatever you've deemed best for us, to build our faith, to build our endurance, to rid away anything that's not good in us and remove it, to save those around us, we pray, Lord, to be branded. We pray to have the heart of Paul, who says that he bears his marks, the body of a slave. We are hard pressed on every side, but not broken. He said in Hebrews that those who rather wander in sheepskins and goatskins, in caves, in the wilderness, those who went through suffering for you, that you deem this world not worthy of them. Lord, help us to have that heart. We know that you love us. We know you're taking care of us, Father. But help us to die to self and to identify every false gospel that denies your scars. And if anybody's listening and they are not born again, I just pray that you'll take that little leap of faith that will change you for all eternity. Receive the gospel and say, yes. Yes, I receive the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, and I ask to be born again. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 57. To the chief musician, Altasketh, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth.
At Premier High School, we are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal